What time is it? Showtime. The brothers discuss sports and provide betting tips. The best kept secret in sports investing. Please welcome Bolt Brady and his bro.
I am out of town, but we're going to give our guy a buzz here and see if he's available, because we got to chit some betting odds, right? Let's see what we got here.
Good afternoon, Bolt Brady's office.
Oh, hey, what's happening? You're available for us.
Hey, how you doing? Where are you calling from today?
I'm in Tahoe. I hit the sports book last night for our UConn.
And that turned out nice and dandy.
Are you in the pen with Billy Walters? It sounds like I got your one call for the day.
And it's a special one. And my boy Billy's actually out now.
He's back again. Yeah, his book's coming out.
I know, I can't wait. In fact, that might be a good present for you to get me.
Right. It's like when you can just leave your little voice memo before I accept the call. Hey, it's your partner, mate.
I know the sports books in Tahoe are like much smaller, for people that have never been there, like compared to Vegas and stuff. It's not even close, but were people like watching the game at all?
This one doesn't have like the tubes around it and stuff. There's a bar kind of next to it where you can kind of go watch them, like with the video poker and stuff. But yeah, there's a little saloon in here. It's like Cutthroat Saloon. And I thought I could walk in like 10 minutes before and be good to go, because it didn't seem that busy. And that was a mistake, because then they came down and they're like, it's an hour wait. So luckily we're on the property here, so they could just text you. So threw the name in, grabbed some drinks and came up to our room, and then they text us like an hour later.
And then you guys head down to watch the game down there.
Yeah, by the time we got to our seat, there was probably like 5 minutes left in the first half. And we were sat by like 10 huge San Diego State fans, which I've got some love for San Diego State. You know, I took some classes there for a year, lived with some homies down there. Unreal town.
Right.
But on this occasion, as you say, I don't have a squad. I've got an investment.
That's right. And we're going for the chippers, and that was another B race.
Yeah, gosh, I was telling you, I'm like, man, just thinking about the matchup and looking at San Diego State. Love their defense. They've got some good athletes and intensity. But when you're watching them just shoot the previous games, like, they just didn't have enough dudes that could stroke it from outside.
Well, the thing is, they started off on fire.
Totally.
They came out and scored 10 points in, like, the first 3.5 minutes. And then, later on, they go on 11-minute streak of not scoring a field goal.
Yeah, it was like up to 12 missed field goals in a row there. They try to go to kind of their version of like Vinny the Microwave, like Seiko, but all he can do is hit the three. But he just gets a couple looks, and then he gets yanked. And it's just not happening for those guys. UConn was such a machine. The way they run their offense and their defense is, it's, if you like to watch basketball, it's a fun watch.
Yeah, it was. Snego, the center for UConn, just was dominating. But he's like 6'9". I can see him having a good career in the NBA, or at least decent. Like, he's athletic and can move and at the same time have a post game. It seemed like Hurley, the head coach, like, it seems like he knew they were just going to win the whole time. He seemed so confident on the sideline, like just knowing that their team was better than everyone.
Yeah, and he does a good job. If you give him a day and he can kind of dissect some film, like, he really finds some weaknesses. And they have 9 dudes in their rotation, and like when they bring those other 4 in, they skip a little bit of a beat sometimes, but they still run that offense really well. They bring those 4 dudes up high, and they're just constantly in motion. And if they swing it to the other side, Sonogo has pinned the guy on his back, and he's got like the lane there for an easy put in, like layup.
Right.
It's just well coached and well executed. They did a great job.
So UConn didn't lose to one team outside of their division, the Big East. So they beat everyone. And then how about this stat? So, people may realize that they went 6-0 against the spread in March Madness during the tournament. So 6-0 against the spread. And how about this? They dominated and crapped on people so bad, just pure domination, that if you gave the other team 7 points, added 7 points to their score, UConn was still 6-0 against everyone they played.
If you gave up 7 to start?
Yeah, no, just if you take the final score, like the final score last night, and add 7 points to San Diego State's score. So, like, San Diego State lost by 17 last night. Let's just say they lost by 7. They still covered that.
Right.
And they did that against every team.
Yeah. Impressive.
I mean, yeah, people say it's one of the most impressive. And can we start considering them one of the best programs, you know, in the nation for basketball? It's their 5th national championship.
Mm-hmm. Yep, with 3 different coaches. That was his 5th year. You know, you see someone like him, and you're like, they're just humming now, like machine. And you're like, it's taken Hurley a while to kind of get to this level, though. I mean, he's a good coach, and it doesn't come easy.
No, and he's got the background, like with his dad and the name and everything, and he still had to work his way up.
Yeah, I mean, Bobby's older, right? And I mean, he's at ASU, and he doesn't even sniff going deep into the tourney.
Not even close. Yeah.
No.
Not even close.
So now, yeah, this will help them get the recruits and stuff, and he's going to have a little squad going for a while.
Oh yeah, he will. Oh yeah, he will. So, you know, unless you have anything else to say there about it, I mean, it was a great March Madness for us, right? We picked the UConn. The last pick that we gave out on the podcast was, before the Final Four started, was take UConn minus the 110 to still win the tournament. They came through with that. So our picks went 10-1 on the tournament. The only game that lost was Drake, and they should have covered. That was a joke. They should have won the game, and then they still couldn't even cover. Mm-hmm. So it took a total mental lapse. But 10-1 on the picks, we'll take her.
Yeah, I know you took them. Like, what was it, plus 1,700 before the tournament started?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and I was, you know, last night I was, you were like, money line to UConn, and it was minus 345, and then the line was 7. I'm like, no, I'm okay with the 7. I'm taking the 7 tonight.
No, I know. That's what most people do, just because it's a big number, but, you know, it is, a lot of times it's, even though it's the big number, you know, you're going to find that just winning the money line is a lot more profitable than the line. But I know it's more expensive. That's what most people do. But It worked out.
Yep. That was a hell of a run by San Diego State. Like, I mean, that's a team that might never get there again. So that was cool for their student body.
It was. I read something like, I didn't read all the details. Did you hear about, like, they gave the kids like $500 each, the ones that went to the game? Like, for, did you read anything about that?
No, I just noticed how, you know, CBS was behind their student section with, like, Charles and those guys before the game, and all the San Diego State did, they were kind of just showing all their beer cups, like they were stacking them like super high, the ones they'd already finished. I'm like, yo, you can just tell this is a school that kind of lets her rip versus some of these other ones that are in there.
That was just a B race. I just don't even know if there's much to talk about. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we hop into the big Masters here?
Nope. Yeah, I'm good with March Madness. That was a great tourney. Good call for the UConn by you, but let's chit Augusta and, Big Jim Nance probably flew straight from the game into Augusta last night.
Well, and here we are saying, hey, is this week any good? And how about Big Jim?
Yeah.
Wow, does he think this is really good?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, you know what? Speaking of Jim, and we talked about this last year because, you know, you were asking me if I knew who Jim's roommate was in college at Houston. And I said Fred Couples. And so, that just reminded me. So Fred Couples, did you see what Fred Couples said about Phil and Sergio recently?
Yeah. I mean, I did. He said Phil's a little bit. But he's like, I'm still friends with the guy. I have been for years, but he said he's a bit of a weirdo or something.
Well, no. So, he was at like a breakfast, you know, like before a tournament. I think down in Newport Beach.
Yeah.
And they were talking to Fred about the Live. I guess Fred is clearly not a very big fan of the Live. And they asked about Phil, and I thought he and Philly were buds, and he called Philly a nutbag.
Right.
And then he called Sergio a clown.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that didn't really seem that didn't seem like at least how he's portrayed on, you know, TV. I thought that was a little out of character for couples. But anyway, he's like, no, I've got nothing against the guys on Live, but yeah, and he was basically standing by his comments. I'm like, wow, that's kind of weird.
Yeah. I mean, I think some of these guys that have been on the tour for so long are getting a little defensive. And I mean, I think he'd be fine with Phil if he came across him, but I don't know if Phil would be fine in the other direction back at Freddie.
Right, right. Well, big Phil. I mean, I heard on a radio that like Phil's still getting a lot of bets, you know, for the Masters, because I think he's like well over 100 to 1 to win, you know, like 130 to 1 or whatever. And ladies and gentlemen, we've said this before. Don't even bother lighting your money on fire, big Phil.
Yeah, I mean I was checking out Liv this weekend. They were in Orlando, and it's still not like a smooth running ship. Their production value and watching it, but at least Brooks was, you know, in the lead. So I kind of want to see if he could pull it off. But they have a hard time cutting to Phil because he's just never in the mix in these Liv events.
They're like cutting to Phil and his 79 that he shot today.
Yeah, I mean it's tough to cut to him. The thing that Phil did, though, you know, he's worth the $200 million because he was such a big name to get first that the other guys are like, all right, you know, we can do this maybe.
Well, yeah, and speaking of Fred Couples, that's what he said. He's like, hey, if you want to pay Phil $200 million to shoot the 78 79s, be my guest.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, so, you know, today's Tuesday, and tonight's the Champions Dinner, so tomorrow the news will come out about how it went and if it was awkward and whatnot. So that'll be kind of, I'd love to see that interaction with some of those dudes, like the Patrick Reed and stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, Patrick likes to play the villain role. He might step it up. You mentioned Brooks. Brooks had talked about how he actually misses playing against like Rory and Scottie. I mean, that's got to suck for these guys. Like, you want to play against the best in the world, but, you know, at the same time, they're like, we're getting paid. So this is actually, you know, their chance to all prove who the best is. Because, like, the official world rankings, it doesn't even have the guys in Liv in the world rankings. You know, like, you don't have Brooks and Dustin in that, which is kind of weird.
Well, they're in it. They're just climbing fast and higher. You know, so Cameron Smith's like up to 5. Brooks is like 65 or, you know, and DJ's might be like 104 or something weird now.
Well, that's what I mean. That's garbage, though. I mean, you're telling me Brooks and DJ aren't top 25 in the world?
Right. No, that's the problem. They need to sort this out here the next couple of years if this thing's going to survive.
So I think it's important to point this stat out because people might hear this because I think it was relevant, super relevant in the past, where the top 10, the 10 last Masters tournaments, and it's even like out of the last 25 years, it's even like, you know, 22 out of the 25 years that the winner of the Masters was ranked in the top 30 official world golf rankings, right? So you're like, okay, well, let's take a look at the top 30 guys and, you know, make our picks based on that. But because of this Liv situation, I'm not so sure that applies anymore. I mean, you're not going to take a look at Brooks and DJ,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I mean, just because they're out of the top 25, top 30 in the world, I don't think that applies, you know, with this Liv situation going on.
No, certainly not this year. You're going to have to kind of adjust some of those things that have been true through the history here. Brooks was saying, you know, he's like, supposedly there's all this angst and hate towards one another. He's like, but I see a ton of these guys around Jupiter, you know, all the time. Like, we'll play some rounds or I'll see them in the clubhouse. Like Rory and these dudes, and, you know, we chat about the differences a little bit. We talk about like the balls and rolling it back, if that's a good idea. He's like, we're fine. You know, we see each other all the time around town.
Right.
One that wasn't, you know, you see Bryson said Tiger didn't return his text because they used to kind of be chummy and do practice rounds.
Right.
So he's like, you know, Tiger has cut me off, basically. And then there was a thing this morning I saw briefly. This guy, Rex Hoggard, who's a big Golf Channel golf writer. And he's like, yeah, Bryson's out on the course with Tiger and Rory and like Tom Kim playing their practice round. And then it came out like later. They're like, whoops, correction. You know, it was Fred Couples. It's not Bryson with them. Yeah, I'm like, dude, why doesn't someone get some eyeballs on the foursome before you just throw that out there on the Twitter, bud?
speaking of Tigray, I came across a stat with him. Is this a joker of a stat? So when Tiger played 1999 and 2000, so that two-year period, okay, he had 17 wins and 4 majors, okay? Which is a better career than DJ, Jordo, Justin Thomas, and many, many more. Just those 2 years is better than those guys' entire careers.
What was it? 09 to 10?
No, 99 to 2000.
Oh, yeah.
Those 2 years, he had 17 wins in 4 majors, which is better than Dustin, Jordo, and Justin Thomas. Like, you know, their careers.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that was, he was at Pebble that year. Was that like, he was just like double digits on the lead. I mean, I'm sure they're running out of things to say when the lead's that big.
Yeah. So, you know, and then the tag, I mean, last year, Tig was coming off like over 500 days of not playing professional golf. And remember, he came out kind of hot. He made the cut.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just catches up to him after that. And I think that's the case again. I mean, that's why he's like 70-1 to win the tournament. What do you think about Big Tigray this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think he makes the cut. You know, Augusta is such a hilly walk. It's like he's still got that little limp kicking. The one thing he was saying was like, he's like, my core has never been stronger because it's kind of offsetting like the back and the different areas of my body that I have to swing a little differently now. So he's like, that's why the club speed is actually pretty dang high right now. And he was pumping it past some guys when he did play with them. So, I'm not thinking he's making too much noise. I mean, if he does top 30, that'd be a hell of a week.
Yeah, if he did what? Top 30?
Top 30.
Yeah. You can get the top 30 odds on Tigray. Let me see what the top 30 is here. You know, it's still because it's Tigray. The odds are still garbage because of just the name, you know?
It yeah.
should be higher. His one for, like, his 70-1 to win it, that should be higher. He's actually 5-1 odds to be a top 10. Wow. Mm. There's no chance.
No. Yeah, I wouldn't take that. Does it...
You know what you want to do? You know, people out there, is if you bet against Tig, you want the yes-nos. They do have, like, yes-no, will he make the cut? And that's the thing. I think for those 2 days, he can play well, but it just adds up after that. And did you notice what the weather is this week?
It's decent, isn't it?
No, it's not good. It starts off warm, like it's crazy. It starts off like 89 degrees. On Wednesday and Thursday, it's even in the 80s as well, but they're expecting some showers. And then by the time it gets to Saturday, 55 degrees. So like 40 degree difference than 2 days before, 55 degrees and rain. So you got to factor in the rain a little bit for this tournament. And how's that going to affect things? I mean, balls aren't going to go as far, you know, when people drive it, but they're also not going to roll off the fairway as much into trouble. So it's kind of like a take and give situation there. And then a lot of times on most greens, you're like, oh, it's wet. You know, we can fire for the pins. But remember at Augusta, they have the heater underneath the green. Remember,
yeah, like, it's the sub. The sub.
I think they
Yeah,
they
so,
spent like $40 million on it.
Right, the sub-air right? systems. They can control the firmness of those no matter what the weather is.
Isn't that crazy? So, you're still going to have to putt and get up and down. I'm thinking maybe I should come in with one of my best bets right now.
Let's hear who you like.
Well, we're talking about Tigre, and I like Tigre. He's been a hell of an entertainer, but like I said, I don't think he's going to be able to keep it up over 4 days. So there's a guy out there from Ireland named Seamus Power. Might not be a household name, but in 2023, he's got 5 top 25s. I mean, this guy's balling. Like, you know, he should be actually talked about a little bit more.
Yep.
They've got a head-to-head versus Tigre against him. Seamus is only minus 125 to beat Tigre. I'll take the Irishman named Seamus.
To beat him for the week, right?
Yep. Yep. To have a better score than him for the first 4 days.
So then once they release the pairings, which they haven't done yet, that's when they'll do... Do they always do within the same group? You know, be Tiger versus, you know, Rory for day one, better score?
Well, so that's a good question. Typically, but not always. I mean, so they've already got these matches put together, like Seamus and stuff. So you say they haven't released what the pairings are yet?
No, because they were saying they were whispering about maybe having Rory and Tiger in the same group, but then they're like, there's no way. Those two are way too big a TV draws to have them together that quickly. So, because usually the big dogs, you know, half of them are early, half are late, so you can kind of split up the TV coverage.
Right. Well, yeah, it's way too big of a draw. And speaking of Tiger and draw, I saw this thing on Twitter where it showed Tiger teeing off on the 18th tee box back in 2005, the last time he won. And there was probably like 4 rows of people, you know, on the tee box watching him, like 4 rows back.
Mm-hmm.
And then they showed him yesterday on the tee box, and there was about 15 rows of people just watching him do the practice round.
Yeah, it's nuts.
You know, 19 years later, I mean, this guy's got 20 times the people watching him in a practice round. It was crazy.
Yeah, how sweet is that? A place, we got to get there sometime just to watch it would be so cool.
Yeah, it would. What do you got your eye on? Because when was it? Was it last year? Was the year before when you had big Willie Z?
Yep. I know. My boy Will, I still like his game. He still hasn't broken through with a win, which is a little concerning. You certainly can have your first win be a major. I just don't know when he's going to bring one home, but something about this place does click with him. I would certainly have him in the mix of the top 10 because he's so good around this place. I don't have him as like one of my top two. There was a little thing, you know, I always lean on this guy, but, you know, Jordan Spieth is always one of my favorites. He's always one of my, Jordo's one of my favorites always, which can be a problem. But, you know, there was the thing, I think he's won like the last two Easters on tour. One was like at Sand Harbor or whatever, the one in the RBC in Carolina.
Yeah.
And so this year's Masters happens to finish on Easter Sunday. So this one might just align for Jordo, I think, this year.
So the odds for Jordo is 16-1. He miss the cut last year?
Did he?
I think he did. Yeah, with Brooks. Because I remember one of my tournaments, I had Brooks. I'm like, dude, you're not even going to make the cut? Get out of town. I mean, Jordo had the incredible record going at Augusta, but I mean, it's been like at least 4 years since he's like done anything solid.
Yeah, I mean, it's 8 since he won it. The 2016s when he had it, and in number 12 he put it in the drink, and Danny Willett stole one, which should never have happened. He just played
2012.
No, 2015 is when Jordan won it, and then 2016 is he hit it into the drink twice on 12, Ray's Creek,
right.
And Danny Willett kind of backdoored that one. He does play well here, and then, you know, if he's in the mix, he can bring it down the, he can make some noise come Sunday afternoon.
If he's in the mix, for sure.
I think, you know, of all the big favorites, I would like Scottie Scheffler, just where his game is and his confidence level is so high. I know people like Rory, and he made some equipment tinkers. I just think when he gets here and the pressure of the Grand Slam just doesn't sit well. You know, he always gets off to too slow of a start here.
So the odds-on favorites are Scotty and Rory, 7-1 odds, with John Rahm right behind him at 9-1. The last time that the odds-on favorite won the Masters, it's super rare. Goes all the way back to 2005 to Tigre. So usually the guys that are the odds-on favorite don't bring it home.
No, it's a tough thing to do.
Yeah, and then Rory, I heard a cool stat about Rory. So this is Rory's, 16th Masters, and no one has ever won their first Masters after their 16th appearance, except for Sergio, who did it recently, and Marco Vera. But that probably typically means that people are coming to the end of their careers. Rory could be the exception because the guy's actually – his swing speed and how far he's hitting it is actually, the furthest it's ever been in his career. So not sure that stat applies to Rory, but it'd be cool to see him get the Grand Slam.
For sure. He finished second last year. So, this guy's, he's going to feel the pressure a little bit. And he was such an outspoken guy all year on the Live PGA thing. I just wouldn't lean with him. Rahm, I don't like where his game is right now either. He came out so hot and he's cooled the touch the last few weeks. But Scotty still, so did Rory. They played great in the match play, which isn't totally indicative of having the same score all 4 days. It's just beating your opponent. I would take Scheffler over Rory and Jordan in terms of my favorites. And then I got some live guys circled here who I think just might, do well, even though a lot of people are going to be watching them. I don't know if you saw, but some of them are wearing their team gear from Liv, like the four aces. DJ had the vest on yesterday for the practice round.
I read that Cam brought his, but he also brought some other fits just in case the Masters got mad.
Right. So, they could say something. We'll see. That's such a sticky situation for them. Be like, hey, that gear's not going to fly because then it's going to be all over the media.
Right.
what do you say? You gonna go tell hey Rory, that Nike hat's not gonna cut it this week?
Because you're not telling Big Rory that's for sure.
No, I know, but this
Rory goes, really? Okay, you want me to take the PGA with me, guys? Because I will.
Yeah. Right. So I think Patrick Reed's okay with being the bad guy in the eyeballs. I think he might do well this week, and he's won there before.
Yeah.
I'd like to say Cam Smith. I just, even on Liv, he hasn't been really playing amazing, but that guy's so solid with his short game and his putting, and he played well here in the past. But I have Patrick Reed and Neiman are the other two, Liv guys I think will do well.
Joaquin.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's my boy.
Yep.
I am going to disagree with you on John Rahm, though. I think I would take John over Scotty and Rory. Yes, he's cooled off, but out of his last 12 tournaments, he's won 5 of them. Good try, buddy. And wasn't it last year, I think, is when his wife had the kid? And so we know that kind of slows you down a little bit. I think Big John Rahm, he might be pissed off, too, that he's not considered the favorite. He's like, come on, guys, get serious. He might even have the odds on the refrigerator right now, and he's looking at it the same time we are and going, get serious, guys. I'm going to crap on these two. So I like Johnny there.
I think he slipped to three in the world, too, behind Scotty and Rory.
Those world rankings are garbage. I saw Keegan Bradley's in the top 20. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Do you have any sleepers written down? I have a couple here.
Well, I think that Seamus is a little bit of a sleeper. Yes, I do have a sleeper that we cap on over the years quite a bit because he's such a talented player. Excuse me. And he was just farting and giggling with his lady friend the whole time, Big Ricky Fowler.
Yep.
And, the last few years was just a joker. And so I said it to you a couple of weeks ago. I go, wow, have you noticed Ricky's been balling lately? And you told me he went back to his swing coach, Big Butch.
He did go back to Butch.
And it slightly has made a difference.
I mean,
he's getting the top 25s again. So I like Ricky to get top 20.
He's not in.
He's not in it?
No, he had to win at the Valero last week to get in. I think this is the 3 in a row he hasn't been eligible.
Wow, then he really would have been a dark horse.
Yeah, no. Rick's at home watching his buddies. He can't get in the gates this year.
Oh, wow. No wonder I was looking on it for you. I'm like, dude, where's Rick? This guy's balling. I forgot he hasn't won in so long. He's not going
to
be in.
No, he needs to climb up the world rankings a little more. Yeah, get inside the top 150 when they do like the cutoff a couple weeks before. And then your last hope is to win that tourney the week before for the automatic bid. And he wasn't in the mix.
Well, I'll tell you what I do have as a best bet, though. That's one that's a little bit off the radar is, you know, we touched on how garbage Phil is. I mean, it's just over with. This guy's worried about it. You know, he got paid. He's already had a great career. Charles Schwartzel versus Phil.
Yeah.
The matchup. And I'll take Charles.
Live versus Phil. Live.
Yeah. I mean, you know, people are going to think, oh, maybe Phil can bring it, and it's not happening. You know Phil's odds, while I'm looking at him here, are actually 300 to 1.
Yeah, I used to pull for the Philly Chez quite a bit. I just, you know, he is way slipped. And, you know, he always tries to say the game was looking real good this winter at home, figured some things out, and then just the 76ers aren't going to cut it. I have a couple.
And the Masters, I'm sure the setup of that course is harder than what they're playing at the Big Live right now, too.
Well, he does know his way around it. That place they played last week, the Orange National, it looked, I'm sure it's amazing if we played there like on a weekend, but it just looked a little dried out in some spots, too. It's probably because their galleries aren't as big, so you kind of notice where the course isn't as butter as it should be. But
yeah,
a couple sleepers, I've got the guy Sahith Theegala. It's his first time coming here. He's been in contention in Phoenix, a couple other places. He's pretty solid. He's a single dude, kind of just grinds on the game. Those guys play well their first couple years when like it's like how Bryson was. Like you're just kind of living alone, pumping the weights, pumping your game. No one's asking you to go to dinner or anything. So first time, I know it's tough, but him and then big Kurt Kitayama, the guy from Big Chico that won at Arnie's place. Bay Hill. Those are my two dark horses for the week.
Okay. I do have one thing. The Gordon Sargent, he's the amateur.
He was hitting bombs. Yeah.
He was the champ. You can take Gordon to finish as the number one amateur.
Okay. Yeah, they said he was piping it past JT and someone else he played with yesterday. They're like, they backed up that 13 box and he just cranked it around the corner and had like 200 in, hit the 6 iron. And JT's like, I stopped. Oh, it was him and Max Homa. They're like, we stopped counting how many times he pumped it past us.
So there you go. That's the third best bet. Gordon, top amateur.
And they're like, it was like the 25 yards past us, you know, quite a bit too. It's not just like the 10 yarder. They're like, he was cranking it.
Wow. Yeah, that's a big difference.
Yep. So can't wait to watch. You want to wrap up your betting tips here for the week?
Yep. So Charles Schwartzel over Phil for the week. We just mentioned Gordon Sargent, top amateur. You can bet on who the top amateur is going to be. And then Seamus, the Irishman, versus Tigre for the week. We'll take Seamus. Those are the three best bets.
Okay. Can't wait to watch it. Oh, and then, you know, they saw you can buy this Masters basket now by mail where they send you, like, it's like the snacks and the food and the cups from the property. So a neighbor of mine went ahead and ordered it, and he's having us over on Saturday to watch. And we get a nibble from the basket of the actual Masters chow and drink. So can't wait. Can't wait.
Their prices there are like one of the only things that haven't gone up in price, which is legit.
$2.50 for like the sandwiches, you know, they keep it low.
Wow, That's great. Not like everything else.
Well, the members there, like, I think we're okay on the chips. We don't need to gouge you guys on the hot dogs and stuff.
I think we're okay on the chips. I think our tournament is okay making the chips.
Right.
TV deals. You guys can have $2 sandwiches.
Yep. All right. Well, can't wait to watch it. Thanks for answering the phone.
Well, you enjoy your Tahoe trip. Keep getting some chips at the sports book, and I'll chat with you later.
All right. That'll do it for this week. Don't forget Twitter and Instagram. It's at Bolt Brady Picks. Big Bolt will throw some things on there for you, maybe some matchups over the weekend. So keep your eye on that. Keep the reviews coming on Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen. We appreciate it. We'll catch you guys next time.
See ya.